Tancast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Sometimes the best laughs you get in life are the laughs you get when you're not supposed to be laughing.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tancast Virtual Comedy Theater. Now give it up for your host, Tim Babb.
Greetings, friends. It's your good buddy Tim Babb here. Andy and Noah are off this week again. It's not a normal episode of Tancast. It's our second ever Tanned Up Comedy Jam. Now, last week, we took a listen to some of the comedians I met when I was first starting out in the San Francisco Bay Area. This week, we're going to meet some comics that I met when I moved to Hollywood, baby! Now, just like last week, these comedians have no idea that they're on this show. This audio is being pulled from videos they have on YouTube. But for the most part, I'm not using the whole clips, just enough to whet your appetite. If you want to see the whole videos, I've put links in the show notes of this episode and last week's episode for full videos from each of the comics, also their official websites, CDs, if they're selling them, they've got links to that, Twitter accounts, Facebooks, everything you need to become a lifelong fan of these comics. So thank you in advance for supporting live stand-up comedy, and now let's get on with the show. This first comic definitely didn't start in L.A. She started in New York, where she used to work with and open for Lisa Lampanelli. She's been seen on the Oxygen Network and Comcast TV, and longtime listeners will remember that we played some of her comedy in one of our earliest Tancast episodes. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ro Del Grazzi!
Actually, give it up. You know what's happening right now? April Fool's Day is coming up. Whose favorite holiday is April Fool's Day? I love it. Okay, but here's the problem. I'm actually at that age, 32, so when I play pranks, it's no longer funny. Like, when I call my dad and I say, "Hey, Dad, I'm pregnant," he's like, "You should be. Get some responsibility in your life." You ever messed that up? Have you ever done that? This dude, and he's like, "You're the best I've ever had." I'm like, "You're the best I've ever had, and I've had a lot of dudes." I actually just got out of a relationship. My boyfriend's wife called me. That's just so weird. How'd that happen? Okay. Should I go there? Should I tell the story? Somebody married. I know it's terrible, but the problem is when you have great sex, it just kind of clouds a lot of things, like marriage, right? So, I know. So we broke up and everything, and he got a little crazy. He would send me text messages, and it would say things like, "Oh, I know this is going to fall on deaf eyes." Deaf eyes? Has anybody ever heard of deaf eyes? Let me know. The thing is, too, you know, he would get really mad at me for breaking up with him. He's like, he would say things to me like, okay, I don't know if you've ever been with somebody and you realize they're delusional. Has that ever happened to somebody? So when I'm breaking up, he goes like this to me: "Wow, so you're not gonna be with me because I'm married." Wow. Pretty legitimate case. So he got really mad at me, and he'd be like, we'd have arguments, and he's like, "You said you would always love me." He's like, "You said you would never leave me. You said this was your dick." I'm like, okay, that was in bed, okay? Right now, we are in Target, so.
Next up, we got a double act. Now, they're not actually a comedy duo. In fact, their styles of comedy are noticeably different. But I'm used to hearing them together every week on the Drinking Buddies podcast at K Beach Radio in Long Beach. When they're not podcasting, they are both doing stand-up comedy all over the LA area and beyond. So sit back and enjoy the comedy of Chris Adams.
I think drugs should be legalized. Specifically marijuana, especially if you're gonna drive. Because I would rather you be high on the freeway, because you could miss an exit high. You could be like, ah, shit, I missed that exit. Well, I guess I'm going somewhere else now. And those are the people I want to be driving with, not people that are worried about your job. Fuck your job. Right? If you're going to be late, be late. Be a day and a half late. And then when your boss says, where were you? Just say traffic. Everybody was high. It was made legal. It's cool. I mean, that's why, like, it's weird. I saw this thing on CNN that said that the war on drugs isn't working. And it's like, have you seen the fucking anti-drug commercials? You have to be high just to understand most of them. Like, why does that girl have no bones? Because you should be fucking high. That's why. You know, and how are you going to tell our kids not to do drugs when our president did coke? Right? I mean, he did fucking coke. And I'm not saying anything bad. I want that guy back. I think it'd be much better if Bush was on coke, because I could forgive his presidency if I was high. Whatever, war in Iraq, fucking bomb in my hand, shit. It's much better. And I don't do drugs. I don't want you guys to get the wrong impression. I don't do drugs. My mom did them all for me. She did heroin, right? And everyone's like, oh, that's so sad. Your mom did heroin. But really, it made spankings easier to take. A lot better. They're like, hey, mom, could you wake up? Because this is no longer a punishment. This is awful. And all I want is honesty with this war on drugs. I just want honesty, everybody. No one's honest. And my dad is an honest guy, right? I went up to my dad and I said, hey, Dad, I went on a date. He's like, that's awesome. Did you get laid? I said, no. Faggot. That's love. And that's honesty. You don't find that honesty anywhere else. Like, with this war on drugs, people should just be honest. If you do drugs, you should be treated like a person, not like a criminal. If you do drugs, they should treat you like your dad would have treated you for a pack of cigarettes. Oh, you want to smoke crack? Well, I'm going to sit here and watch you smoke this whole pack of crack. Oh, you're dead now? Faggot.
Next up, we got a double act. Now, they're not actually a comedy duo. In fact, their styles of comedy are noticeably different. But I'm used to hearing them together every week on the Drinking Buddies podcast at K Beach Radio in Long Beach. When they're not podcasting, they are both doing stand-up comedy all over the LA area and beyond. Yes, I know I just said the exact same intro twice, but I wanted you to be equally prepared for the comedy of Jerry Brandt.
Hey, honey, what are they doing at school to teach you about the election? My little girl looked at me and she goes, oh, they let us vote in school. It was awesome. They let us vote. I said, that's pretty cool. All right. Well, who'd you vote for? So I voted for John McCain. All right. Really, I haven't been around enough. But okay, honey, why? Why did you vote for John McCain? And my little girl looked at me, and with the cutest little innocent 12-year-old look she could muster at the time, looked right at me, and she said, well, Dad, they gave us pamphlets, and I went through the pamphlets, and I looked through, and I found out that John McCain is against, hey, Daddy, what's the thing where they killed the baby inside of you? Oh, no! My little girl is trying to have the abortion conversation with me. I haven't gotten to the birds and the bees conversation at that point, folks. I was ill-prepared for the kill the baby inside of you conversation. So I tried to gloss it over, but in the back of my head, like, my wheels are just turning, and I'm thinking, what does she know about that? And then, at some point, it occurred to me, like, the wheels come together. I was like, wait a minute. My daughter is pro-life. Oh, I really haven't been around enough. So I gotta be honest, I'm pro-choice. And I'll tell you guys, that is not an argument you can have with your 12-year-old daughter. in a public restaurant. Especially when your opening statement for said argument is, well, listen, honey, I love you now, but... if it had been up to Daddy... some of you are judging me. You right here. I love her now! She is awesome, okay? I was scared shitless. I found out my girlfriend was pregnant at my senior prom. Oh. Yeah, horrible time to find out that. And I may or may not have tried to pin on her corsage with a coat hanger. I was looking through my newspaper and I saw an article about a surf shop in Laguna Beach that was having a big sale for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Big sale, Laguna Beach Surf Shop. Half off. All black items. I looked at the flyer. The flyer had a picture of a surfer staring stoically off in the distance, holding a surfboard, looking very, very awesome, the surfing ability. And they superimposed Martin Luther King Jr.'s face onto the surfer. But his hands were still white. Like, they couldn't even find a black surfer model. And, like, you should see that and go, that's fucked up. I saw that. I laughed my ass off for 10 minutes at my kitchen table. And I also realized, like, I'm a very smart shopper because I said, 50% off Martin Luther King Jr. Day, all black items. I'll wait till Lincoln's birthday. All black items should be free, right?
Look out, friends. It's about to get nerdy up in here. This next comic not only books and runs the popular show Comics and Comics, an all-fanboy stand-up comedy show in Hollywood, California, he has the unique distinction of being the top comedian in the DC universe thanks to the fact he actually appeared in Green Lantern 143. So, in brightest day, in darkest night, please welcome Tom Frank to the stage tonight.
You know, I don't understand how you cannot be a geek about video games in this day and age. Video games are amazing. They're incredible. It's remarkable to me just how far this technology has come in such a relatively short period of time. You know what I mean? It's like if you went back in time to like the 70s when all they had was Pong and Space Invaders.
Yeah!
And you showed the people then the video games of today, they would be more impressed with these games than with the time machine that brought you back. They'd be like, yes, I know I can travel back to Edwardian England. I want to play Gears of War 4. That's the superior technology, you jive turkey. Oh, you get it, because it's the 70s. What's with the horns that keep going off? I hear those, and yeah, I feel like the Ewoks are going to start celebrating. So I'm a real old school anime guy. I'm into the super robot shows of the 70s. For those of you who don't, you know, the super robot shows of the 70s were basically all the same, where you had a young boy or a young man who would pilot a robot, which was basically a walking arsenal. Just tons of weapons. And whenever the pilot would fire one of the weapons on the robot, he would press the button, but also have to scream the name of the weapon as he's firing it. You know, Rust Hurricane! Pressed fire! And it was so consistent that you almost would think that the weapon wouldn't work if he didn't scream the name along with it. Like it was semi-voice activated or something like that. But I figured out that this isn't the case at all. The reason that they were screaming the name of the weapon as they were pressing the button is it's just a fun thing to do. And I realized that by screaming the name of things that I'm doing in real life. I'm in the bathroom shaving. I'm going, hand razor! Getting drinks at a party, going, tropical punch! In my car, high beams!
This next comic is famous for wearing his signature hat, which is funny because he wears a ton of different hats. He's a stand-up comic, obviously. He is one of the founding members of the Insiders of Comedy. He is the editor of the Comedy Channel at CraveOnline.com, and you can hear him on multiple podcasts every month, including Fandom Planet, The Idiot Box, and my personal favorite, This Is Really Happening. Won't you please say hello to Sax Carr?
Hi, everybody. How's it going? Alright, well, it's good to see so many of us nerds all together in one room.
Right, I'm a geek, thank you.
I don't know what that sarcastic comment was, but I'm sure it was fantastic. Alright, so, it's good to be here with you today. I figured the best way to celebrate a world of exciting gaming is for us to play some improv games with you folks today. And as we all know as avid gamers, the world itself is getting more like a game every minute. For example, a friend of mine recently told me that he feels like our entire universe is getting progressively more like a game of Monopoly. And I said that was probably true, because just recently I went for a stroll around town in my giant fucking metal shoe. So. But if you think about it, Monopoly and all these games we love so much don't actually make a lot of sense, which is something that we're going to hopefully be putting an eye on here today. I mean, for example, why does it cost more to stay at a hotel if there are more hotels around it? And also, why don't I win Monopoly if I control both the utilities? Have fun enjoying yourself there on Boardwalk? Well, have fun shitting in the dark. Oh, P.S., I'm cutting the water off, too. My favorite part about it is you're some random rich guy who visits prison. Hey, that's a good time. Hey, you happen to getting raped? That's cool. I'm a rich guy. I'm gonna go park for free. Now, a lot of you don't know this, but recently I live in Washington, D.C. I live in Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles, California is a very different dating environment than here in Maine. In Maine, I'm a little bit competitive. In Los Angeles, when I go up and flirt with a girl, she's usually like, shouldn't you be underneath the city operating the machines that keep it going? So I've sort of gotten into a relationship, and it's made me think about what it is I like about a woman. What attracts me about women? Why am I into them? Yeah. That would definitely be high on the list. But I've asked you all to give me some suggestions of types of people, and now I'd like to give you an example of what it is I look for in a woman. So, for example, I'm looking for a woman who has a small set of dice. I'm sorry, dice is euphemistic for testicles. I'm looking, does they have to be small? I mean, they can be there. I'm looking for a woman who killed JFK. I'm looking for that exciting grassy knoll experience. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm looking for a woman who loves stuffed animals. Aww. I'm sorry, that's supposed to say loved furries. I'm sorry. I just wrote that one. I'm looking for a woman who likes to shave back hair. Well, art imitates life again. I'm looking for a woman who's an 80s-style businessman. It says here in parentheses, just in case I didn't know what an 80s-style businessman is, that they'd be a cokehead and rich.
Coming up next, we have one of the first comics I really got to know when I moved to L.A. This man can tell a story. If you get the chance to hear his tale of how he lost his virginity, you are in for a good time. Actually, you're in for a good time right now, because here comes the comedy of Ed Greer.
Hey guys, I got fired recently. Got fired. And they disrespect you so thoroughly when you get fired. They had a woman trail me out to make sure I didn't steal anything. I looked her dead in her face, and with as much dignity as I could muster, I said, "Bitch, I've been stealing." You would need a time machine to stop me from stealing out of this office. But you holler at me if you need a stapler or some post-it notes, you know. I think I've always been a thief. I hate to live up to any stereotypes, but I think I've always been a thief. My uncle came in to like be a scared straight program for me. I was 12. I had stolen a candy bar and I got busted. And my uncle came in, 300 pounds. He was a rough customer. He got a white woman pregnant in 1958. He'd been trying to get killed a long time and failed. So he comes in. He had been into several prisons as well: Sing Sing, San Quentin, Alcatraz, Xanadu. Is that a prison? So he'd been to a lot of prisons. So he kicked in my door one day, and he was gonna scare me straight. Guys, you can't scare anybody straight if you have a lisp. You can't do it. My uncle kicked my door and talked about thawa. I hear been messing up. I hear been acting like you want to go to prison. Prison ain't the place for you, though, boy. Them brothers get a hold of you, split splash, all up in your hey, hey. Don't complete that rhyme. I said, look, dude, prison is for stupid people, all right, like you. He got a hurt look on his face. Like I dissed his hometown. He got a hurt look on his face. He's like, nah, they got you brainwashed, son. They got you brainwashed. See, prison is a place you can go to be the person you always want to be. You can read books. You can lift weights. He made it sound like the Reading Rainbow. Like LeVar Burton was in there talking about, we the inmates inside. We can fly twice as high. Just grab a book. Go to a nook. The prison rainbow. That's not how it is. And why are you trying to sell me on prison? He's like a college recruiter. He can whip out some brochures and stuff. As you can see, San Quentin got better facilities. But Chino's really more of a party prison. I don't understand it. And I got this live theater. Oh, what was up with you guys? I'll talk about it later. This is the thing. It was just Halloween. I was gonna call it holiday. Halloween. It's Halloween, right? It was just Halloween, and I watched a bunch of these scary movie marathons. I watched the first Jason movie. In the first Jason movie, the killer is who?
Mother.
Jason's mom. All right. And why was she mad? They had let her 9-year-old, 11-year-old, something like that, year old kid drown while they were off doing the nasty in the woods. And that's why she was so mad. Now, flash forward to the second movie. Who was the villain? Jason. How did Jason go from a drowned 9-year-old to a 7'5", 387-pound killing machine? I think we're missing a training montage. I think we're missing a training montage. He was out in the woods lifting stumps and stuff. I'm the best around. No one's ever gonna keep me drowned. That's so weird. That's so weird. And you know what? I've been encouraged to talk about political stuff, but I'm a very simple dude. I don't get into all that jazz. I do think that there's people that are hypocrites. I think a lot of those dudes are Republicans. You know, Republicans are very hypocritical. They're always talking against some gay stuff. But they're always getting busted doing some gay stuff. What's up with that? This Republican legislator in Florida got busted trying to give oral sex to a 6'8" black dude. Now the twist is, the 6'8" black dude was an undercover cop. You 6'8" and black, and the best assignment they got for you? Stand in a public restroom like some kind of penis flytrap.
So, people used to call James Brown the hardest working man in show business. Those people have never met your next comic. This guy is doing several shows a night practically every day of the week. And all that hard work has clearly paid off, as he is a nationally touring comic who has been seen on Comedy Central's Live at Gotham and the Logo Network's One Night Stand-Up. So, put your virtual hands together for Ty Rivera.
I'm tired of right now people keep asking me how I feel about Prop 8. That's one thing I'm tired of. You know, everybody wants to know how I feel about Prop 8. And I will be honest with you guys when I say that I was disappointed with the outcome of Prop 8. but not for the reasons that most people might think, but because now my fairy of a roommate won't shut the hell up. And sometimes I feel like nobody wanted to marry you anyway. I mean, go out on a date, meet somebody, and then worry about a marriage that was never gonna happen. And he went to all the protests, the rallies, you know, he went to all of them. And I don't mind if that's what you want to do with your time, you know, I don't judge. I mean, like, that's cool. But the thing that bothered me was where they had the rallies. You know, Santa Monica and San Vicente, Sunset Junction, the gay part of Long Beach. These aren't the trouble spots, people. All you're doing in these areas is clogging up traffic for the people that were already on your side. And I happened to be in Long Beach when they had their rally. You know, I happened to be performing on Broadway. And I walked outside and I saw a guy with a sign that said, "Welcome to California, where chickens have more rights than I do." I felt like, you leave those poor chickens out of this. Chickens have miserable lives. They get their eggs stolen. They end up on your dinner plate. Who the hell do you think dies for your low-carb lifestyle, you ungrateful homos? Then he compares it to things that aren't the same, you know, like he compared it to the original civil rights marches. Not the same thing. Not the same thing at all, because Martin Luther King didn't stop at rage for cocktails after. You know, and I get it from both sides right now, because I also have a fair amount of people that will come up to me after my sets and they tell me what it is they hate about gay people, like I'm all of a sudden a suggestion box for the gay community. Like, not too long ago, I was doing a show, and after a friend of mine named Fu walks up to me, and Fu's a very funny black comic, but he walks up to me and he says, "You know what I hate about gay people? I hate when gay people compare their struggle to the civil rights struggle." So like I said, I agree with that, but he didn't wait for me to say anything, you know what I mean? And I didn't really mind him expressing this, but then he went a little further, and he was like, "How's it you can compare what your people are going through to my being a slave for 400 years and having to pick cotton?" So finally, I was like, "Fu, when's the last time you picked cotton?" "You work for the Gap." "You fold cotton."
Next up, we have a comic who ran a lot of rooms in the LA area and was kind enough to put me on regularly at pretty much all of them. She's regular at clubs all over in LA and is the co-creator of the television pilot Backyard Comedy. Please give it up for the genuinely sweet and talented Gail Gramlich.
Wow. Give it up for Tim Bag. Give it up for all the comics you've seen so far. Great show. Great show. Really good. This is awesome. How are we doing? We're still doing good? Yeah. All right, guys. I watch a lot of TV. Anybody else? Yeah. Watch a lot of TV, and I've noticed that there's a lot of male enhancement commercials on TV, right? My favorite male enhancement commercial is the Extends commercial. In the Extends commercial, there's this guy in a gym. Have you ever seen this? And he's just like, "Meh." And he's he's talking about how great this male enhancement pill is, and behind him, it's slightly out of focus, is this girl on a treadmill. You ever see this? She has the perfect ponytail, little sport bra, and a big fat ass, and I mean that in a Beyonce way. And she's just like stepping, and she's like stepping, like, "Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, you want this ass, you want it, you want it. Raw form of subliminal advertising I've ever seen. Like, basically they're saying, like, "Hey guys, you take this pill, you're gonna get that ass. Quality ass, the kind of ass that works out." Okay, another show I love to watch on TV is The Big Loser. Anybody else? Yeah! Yeah. I love that show. For those of you who don't know, it's a weight loss show, right? And it's really heavy people go to this ranch in Malibu and they work out 6 hours a day. It's a great show. And a couple seasons ago, there was this Asian girl, Kay, right? She was a very good contestant. The fat just melted right off her. And everybody made a big freaking deal of it. They're like, "Wow, Kay is so tenacious. She's so amazing. She's so determined. Dude, she's Asian." was not supposed to be fat in the first place. Come on. She has a genetic advantage over the time frame. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's like lining up a bunch of puny white guys in Shaq, giving them all male enhancement pills, and then raving over Shaq's results, being like, wow, Shaq is really determined. He's so tenacious. Come back to life, but it can't come back you. You have to come back a minority. If that were the case, I would come back any kind of Asian. Because I'll probably never have a problem with my weight. I'd probably never have another bad hair day. And I'd probably never have a problem getting a hot white guy to be my boyfriend. Asian invasion. Like, I always wondered why the sisters got so mad at us white girls for stealing their black men. And then the Asians started doing it to us. Is Nip Tuck. Four episodes left. Anybody else? Dexter Fugoda. I love Dexter Fugoda. I still love Nip Tuck. And a couple seasons ago, there was this great episode where this husband and wife got into a car accident, and they were trapped in a car for 10 days. And the husband had to slice off his flesh, cook it with a lighter, and feed it to his wife to keep her alive. I know, that's funny. It's not the funny part, but I think it's funny. She felt, the wife, she felt guilty for eating him, so she sliced off her flesh, fed it to him uncooked, and made him deathly ill. Now, the way I see it, she should have married a man who knew how to drive. And he should have married a woman who knew how to cook. Like, if that were me, if I were trapped in a car for 10 days, I would have no problem having my boyfriend eat me. There's a first time for everything, that's what I would say.
This next comic is a comedy juggernaut. Not only have I watched him make crowds of people laugh, which is a tricky thing, but I've watched him time and time again make a room full of comedians laugh. If you don't think it's hard to make a comedian laugh at comedy, try getting a real forensic scientist to enjoy an episode of CSI. But before you do that, enjoy the comedy of Earl Skakel.
Don't fuck with me right now. I don't need this gig right now. I'm opening up a Home Depot with Screech in Temecula tomorrow night. Someone already asked me in the lobby if I'm Carrot Top. Go to the bathroom, this guy's like, hey, you look like Kenny G. That's 0-2. I can't win, you know. When I had a flat top, and I used to have a flat top, my buddy walks up to me and goes, Earl, you look like a gay Ricky Martin. I'm like, is there any other kind of Ricky Martin? Guy came up to me outside, he's like, hey dude, are you one of the comics? I'm like, no, I'm one of the fucking male models they flew in. He's like, well, you should do a joke about how big your head is. Like, that's kind of rude to say to someone you don't know. So then I go in the bathroom and I look at the size of my head. My head is huge. Yeah. I mean, if I was riding shotgun with Kennedy that day, he'd still be alive. Yeah. Is that joke too soon? No joke is too soon. I was doing 9/11 jokes before the second plane hit the tower. Is that joke too soon? I know it's a joke. I just told it. You got Captain Obvious over here in the corner. Don't worry. It's cool. It's cool. I marched with the Mexicans in the opposite direction, but I still marched with them. Hey, do you guys think, you think OJ ever watched Dexter and thought, that's how I should have done it? A lot of people ask me who I voted for in the last election. They want to know what a guy who looks like me, who they would vote for. And I tell them, I voted for John McCain. And a lot of people are like, why'd you vote for him? Must have been because he was in Vietnam for 5 years. That's not why I voted for him. Personally, I find the fact that he was in Vietnam for 5 years to be an incredible sign of his laziness. I mean, Chuck Norris was there for an hour and 30 minutes. Folks, you guys are great. My name's Earl.
We are down to our final comedian on the show tonight, and we've actually played some comedy by our headliner before. In fact, we've played one of these actual jokes he's about to tell before, but the last time we played it, it was from his Comedy Central Presents, so all the naughty words were bleeped. Not this time, baby! In addition to his own Comedy Central Presents special, this guy's been on Mad Men, Grey's Anatomy, and Dexter. His CD, Sneezes, Farts, and Orgasms, is available now from iTunes. Here he is, uncensored and fully awesome, Brian Scolaro.
Weed is a lot safer than alcohol, don't you think so? Well, all the problems you had in your life are caused by alcohol, and that's fucking legal. If you think back all the times you fucked up, you were probably on alcohol. If your boyfriend got pissed off and punched you, he was on alcohol, right? You didn't come home all stoned and threw fucking cookies at your head, you know, like, You break it down logically. Who would you rather have behind the wheel of a car driving a big fucking metal machine? Should I have a drunk guy driving or a stone guy? Stone guy. He's got the seatbelt on. He's going like 5 miles per hour. He's like, Jesus fucking Christ. What's that? Is that a ski rack? Good. Okay, hold on. Pull over. Pull over. It's a big truck. We're walking. Everybody get out. Oof. There's certain things you shouldn't do stoned, right? And you shouldn't do them drunk either. And they should give us that option to figure it out. Did you ever hang out with your grandmother when you're stoned? Ever happen to you? Happens once, you know, in a lifetime. It was kind of fun because my grandmother's got Alzheimer's. So we were just telling the same story back and forth for like 5 hours. And then she made a whole bunch of cookies, and I fucking ate them all. And then she forgot and made a whole bunch of cookies, and I fucking ate them all. Church stoned. Did you ever do that? That was a bad move. I panicked the whole time. I got really nervous, you know. Got the munchies. I went to communion like 6 times. Brought a thing of salsa with me, you know. Like, give me some Jesus. You get all these ideas. So I'm in the pew, right? And the priest is up there talking, and I'm listening. I'm like, okay. What would happen if I just yelled out, bullshit! That can't happen! No! I don't think they'd throw me out. There's no bouncers in church, right? Don't you think you could do anything you want to in church? You could get up and try to start a wave, you know? Like, huh, fine. Everybody up. You could walk in dressed up like Satan and just sit in the back row, boo! Put on a Jesus robe and a Jesus beard and just come in the back door. Who the fuck are you, people? What the fuck? This is my fucking house. Give me my wine back.
That's our show. Thank you to all the comics both this week and last week who had no idea I was putting them on the show. You can thank them too by seeing their shows and buying their CDs. Again, all this info on each comic is in the show notes. Tancast will be back to normal next week for our 200th episode. Until then, thank you for listening. You're doing it.
Thank you for tolerating, I mean listening, to this episode of the Tancast Podcast. You can go to our official website, tancast.com, where you can read our blogs and find links to the official Tancast Facebook page, the official Tancast Twitter page, and the official Tancast store. We'd love to get emails from you, so email us at fucktards@tancast.com or yourmom@tancast.com, or you can email the guys individually at tim, andy, or noah@tancast.com. As always, we'd like to thank DJ Technoid for creating the official Tancast theme, and we'd like to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review so other people can find us. That's all for this week, and as always, remember, enjoy some fresh titty juice.
Tancast.
Now, I normally don't follow celebrity news. Like, I'm not a big TMZ guy. I really could care less. But I want to know, does anybody know if Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock are still together? Because I heard they're not. I was rooting for those two kids. I was hoping they would get married. Because, see, Ryan Reynolds is on my wife's top five list. You know, the top five celebrities you get a pass on if you get a chance to sleep with them. And Sandra Bullock is on my top five list. So if they got married, wife swap, and then we both... You guys, there are couples in here. Do you guys have the celebrity top five? See, my wife is mad. She takes more than five. I have the top 100. It's really not even celebrities by the time you get to the upper 90s. This girl I met once in high school. She was a cheerleader. That counts as celebrity. My wife takes offense to one of mine because I have Lindsay Lohan on my list. And my wife's like, no, they have to be an upgrade. You can't go downgrade to Lindsay Lohan. I'm like, listen, you gotta think practically. Like, sure, my wife is an attractive lady. If Ryan Reynolds saw her, he might go for it. Sandra Bullock, Anne Hathaway, they're not necessarily beating down my door. Lindsay Lohan clearly makes bad decisions, so I could get in there. You gotta think smart.